Chapter 23. Paul lay on the deck, holding Reese in his arms. The sun's rays had only just begun lightening the sky, but she didn't stir. The doctor told Tracy and Regina that she should be fine once the drug wore off, but it might take a while and she would sleep a lot. They should expect some confusion and memory loss over the next few days. Paul was relieved to know she'd be okay, and even more relieved to know the plan he and the constable had come up with had worked. Mario and his friends had come to the shop intent on hurting him, or worse. They'd made their way to the end of the dock and found Reese and Paul asleep on their mat. The men had jumped Paul and started beating him and his girlfriend, only to find that it was really Paul and a female military-trained soldier, both capable of fighting back until Worley and the other military policeman came out of hiding. It was all the proof the constable needed to arrest Mario and his friends and send them to the mainland to await trial. Reese moaned, and Paul held her over the edge so she could vomit into the water, again, but there was nothing left to vomit. She heaved, and he wondered how much longer it would be before she would finally be spared the torture to her system. Claire showed up early with her husband, knowing Paul's schedule board would be worthless for most of the morning and he'd need help. Paul had called Dobbs and Mitch to explain what had happened. He left Reese to sleep on the mat on the west side of the gazebo, closest to the water, and removed from where the morning diving commotion would take place. "Do you really want to leave her on the deck? I'm not sure she'd like being gawked at," Claire said. "Where else can I put her? All the rooms here at the shop are small and stuffy. She needs air." "Our flats are right across the street. Your bed is closest." "I'm not putting her in my bed." Claire did a double take, not understanding his reasoning. "I can't keep an eye on her over there. I don't want her out of my sight." He seemed to consider what to do next, but then he made Claire jump when he announced, "Listen up." All the morning divers gathered around, wondering why Paul called a meeting. "I'm sure you've all heard some form or other of what happened last night. I'll explain it later when more people are here. It'll be best not to have any misinformation floating around out there, but for the time being, Reese is asleep on the other side of the gazebo. Stay on this side. Leave her alone. Let her sleep. Understand?" The look on his face left no question. They did understand. Bother her and face his wrath. He turned to Claire with a questioning expression on his face as everyone dispersed. "Yep, that ought to take care of that little concern," she answered. Paul stood guard over Reese all day. When the sun came up, he found a tarp and thoughtfully made an awning to give her shade. All the doting and care didn't go unnoticed by Claire. She'd speculated about his feelings for Reese before, but now she was no longer confused. Paul received word that day that his order, the new addition to the shop's family, was finished. Claire had been nagging him that it was time to buy the new boat he'd been saying he wanted to buy someday. The guest bookings at the shop since Reese started her internet marketing plan were steadily improving, and Claire received an inquiry about booking a large singles group over the 4th of July. She really wanted to book that group, and she'd become relentless, pestering him about it. Paul finally bit the bullet a few weeks before and ordered a brand new, state-of-the-art dive boat, and now it was on its way. Reese's condition, however, kept him from feeling the pleasure the announcement should have given him. The happy news was lost in his worry over her. Reese would have been as excited as he should feel about the new toy, and he would have taken her out to celebrate, but instead, she lay drugged out of her mind because some degenerate scumbag wanted to rob her of her virginity. Reese finally opened her eyes about 2:30 that afternoon. She stared up at the tarp, wondering where she was and how she got there. Paul sat leaning against the gazebo, his laptop on his lap, his feet affectionately entwined with hers. He finally noticed her awake.
"You need to drink some water."
In one fluid move, he put his laptop down and sat, holding her in an upright position, offering her water from one of the bottles he had waiting. She swatted the bottle away and looked around, still too confused to drink.
"Please drink."
He poured a sip of water into her mouth, and she swallowed twice before pushing the bottle and him away again.
"How do you feel?"
"What am I doing here?" She ignored his question.
"What do you remember?"
"I'm sick."
Are you going to throw up again? He sighed. She shook her head. Good. I'm really trying to handle that part of all this, but it hasn't been easy.
He watched her carefully, trying to read her needs.
What do you remember about last night?
It took a minute for her to respond. You were with Shelley. I wasn't sure I wanted to go meet you or not.
Shelley? I wasn't with Shelley.
Reese was out again. She opened her eyes again after 10 that night. It was dark. Paul watched her over his laptop as she stirred. He hadn't left her side since he closed the shop.
How do you feel?
She didn't answer.
I know you're going to want to know what happened last night, but I think it would be better to know what you remember first.
I have a headache.
That's normal. What about nausea? Do you remember anything?
Reese tried to sit up.
Oh, she moaned.
He put his laptop down and moved closer to help. He pulled her into him so she could lean her head against his chest.
Nauseous. I don't remember. I waited for you at Tanked.
She paused, concentrating hard.
Some creepy guy came, and he wouldn't leave me alone. I just wanted him to leave me alone. I waited for you and Shelley.
I wasn't with Shelley. Why do you think I was? She looked up at him.
Ula and... They said you took her with you to the mainland. They hadn't seen her since you left. Her new boyfriend said they fought about you. Shelley told him you'd invited her to the mainland with you. He thought she'd gone to be with you.
She wasn't. Paul didn't understand what Shelley had to do with anything.
Reese, I wasn't with Shelley. I promised you a dance. I busted my ass trying to get back to the island on time. I knew I'd asked you to wait for me, and I tried to get back.
You didn't.
Yes, I did. No, you're right. I was late. I'm sorry.
He shook his head, thinking how different things might have been if his taxi hadn't run into the roadblock that turned the only road to the ferry into a parking lot for hours.
I missed the ferry and spent what seemed an eternity trying to find someone with a boat willing to cross the channel in the dark.
The memory stirred up the same frustration he'd felt last night.
I finally found an old fisherman who decided the money I offered outweighed the risk. Do you remember anything else?
The creepazoid kept offering me drinks.
Creepazoid?
Paul couldn't help his smile. I didn't want a drink. I wanted to have my faculties about me when you showed up with... She paused and looked at him again, as if realizing she should tread lightly on the subject of Shelley. I had a Coke Light, hoping to get rid of him. You never showed up.
Paul closed his eyes and exhaled, thinking, wishing he'd been there. I'm sorry, Reese. I tried to get back. I wish I would have made it back sooner.
I felt sick. That's all I remember.
Paul nodded in understanding. You should drink some water. It'll help you rinse that shit out of your system.
What shit?
That creepazoid, as you called him, gave you Rohypnol, a date rape drug.
No, they put that in alcohol. I didn't have alcohol. I only had a Diet Coke.
He must have put it in your Coke.
But I didn't know they could do that. She let out a little whimper, which melted his heart as he felt it sinking in for her. They put that in alcohol. I only had a Coke. I didn't know.
Neither did I, he said. I've been reading about it while you've been asleep. It'll dissolve, even in water. It's tasteless, odorless. You couldn't have known. He preyed on you, your empathy. You can't be mean to anyone, unless they really piss you off.
Paul chuckled, remembering how feisty she could be when pushed too far. She let out another sob, bringing him back to the current problem.
Shh. Paul squeezed her to him and kissed the top of her head. It's not your fault. You only see the good in people. You didn't see it coming.
I didn't think he was a good person. I didn't like him, but I still had no idea. I'm so stupid.
She stopped crying abruptly, turning to gauge Paul's facial expression, wearing frightened uncertainty on hers.
What happened?
He tried to take you out of the bar, Paul said,
but he sensed what she feared and hurried to assure her.
But Regina wouldn't let him, thank goodness.
The thought of Mario coming so close, the thought of Reese being taken that way, Paul had been beating himself up, unable to forgive himself for being late. The thought of, if he'd been any later.
Regina warned me about this. She was right.
Reese's voice sounded as if she was barely able to hold it together.
It's not your fault.
Rhys shook her head, and he wondered how she could blame herself.
I am so sorry.
Paul tightened his hold and felt her trembling.
I shouldn't have been late.
He couldn't think of anything else to say. The second morning after the Mario incident, Rhys hadn't moved far from the mat on the deck. She slept most of the time, but Paul remained faithfully at her side, anticipating her every need. He tried to get her to eat, but she couldn't manage more than a bite. He persisted with the water, but she grew annoyed with him for pestering her about it.
Worley needs to question you, Paul looked concerned. Are you up for that?
I can't remember anything. I don't know how much help I'll be.
I'm sure it's just procedure. He said he'd come by after the shop closes, okay?
Rhys had no control over her body. The nervousness, the jitters, jumping at the slightest sound. She wasn't just sad. She was depressed and disenchanted with life. She felt embarrassed, positive that any other girl would have known better. She just knew the girls at the shop were all judging her, but Paul insisted everyone seemed genuinely concerned. Almost everyone. Krista and Doreen had sincerely apologized to Rhys for not helping her that night, and they tried to convince Ula to apologize as well. Not only did Ula refuse, but she said Rhys deserved worse, that if it wasn't for Rhys, Shelley wouldn't have left the shop. Paul overheard her tirade and promptly urged Ula to move on, go to another shop, or better yet, another island. She followed his advice. Rhys didn't move much all day, still nauseated, tired, and confused. She slept a lot. When she wasn't asleep, she lay on the edge of the deck and stared at the water below. She enjoyed the breeze off the ocean, the only comfort she found. Paul kept saying he could tell she'd prefer to be alone, but he continued attending to her. She tolerated him rather patiently. Her compassionate sensibilities wouldn't allow her to tell him where to go, and when all was said and done, she'd be lost without him. He'd become the only thing that made sense in her suddenly crazy reality. Worley, a white man descended from pirates, pulled up one of the deck chairs and sat while Rhys and Paul stayed on the mat. Paul sat next to her.
I know, based on the nature of the drug, you probably don't remember much, but I have to ask, what do you remember about last night?
Either his island accent wasn't as thick and hard to understand as most of the locals, or Rhys was finally starting to understand it more easily. Rhys nodded, confirming Worley's conclusion. She looked at Paul and could tell his smile was a poor attempt to mask his concern. She recited the same memories she'd told Paul about the incident.
Well, I think we have enough to go by from Paul and Regina's accounts to put this guy away. Plus,
Worley studied Paul's face carefully,
some boys, they was playing in the jungle. Apparently, they've built a little fort. They were on their way tut when they stumbled upon a woman. They thought she was dead. "'And ran to get their parents. "'We found her. "'When was the last time you saw Shelley?'
"'Shelley again?' Paul muttered,
"'but then he realized why Worley asked. "'The woman in the jungle. "'His heart skipped a few beats.
"'Shell? She's dead?'
"'No, she's been beaten pretty good, though. "'It's lucky she was found when she was. "'We sent her to the hospital on the mainland. "'Heard you two had history. "'Didn't end well.'
You think I beat her up?
Nah, Doc says, looking at her bruises, she was beat Friday night or Saturday morning. You didn't get back till late Saturday night. You know who'd be wanting to hurt her?
Paul thought for a minute, and then looked down at Rhys, remembering the things she'd rambled on about Shelley before she was lucid. He closed his eyes and licked his lips a few times. His mouth puckered and unpuckered. He let out a loud sigh, just now putting it all together.
Apparently, her new boyfriend told everyone they broke up. He spread the word, said he thought she'd gone to the mainland, with me. I haven't seen Shell for days. The last time I did, guess who she snuggled up to, all cozy at Tanked. Mario hurt Shell.
Paul couldn't stand the thought of what Mario had in mind for Rhys. He stared at the floor in front of him. His breathing grew shallow, louder as he struggled to control his temper. He felt an intense need to slam his fist into something. Mario's face would be perfect again. He wished he'd finished the job when he had the scumbag all but incapacitated. Just a few more blows and... Paul, don't. Rhys's face was right in front of his. He didn't know how he'd missed her moving in so close.
Don't what?
He felt disoriented. I know that face. It's the one I imagine, over and over. The one you wore when you beat the hobo to within an inch of his life. Please don't think that way.
Paul took a deep breath, wanting to appease her. He turned to Worley.
The man's an even bigger monster than we thought.
Good thing we have him, then. As soon as Shelley wakes up and tells us her story, we'll confirm all that. He won't be tasting freedom for a while.
Worley left Paul and Reese alone on the deck.
What do you want to do?
Paul took her hand in his.
Do you want to go back to your place?
She shook her head. I don't think I could walk that far.
I'll call Ignacio. You shouldn't walk in your condition.
She thought about it for a minute, but shook her head. Can I just stay here again tonight? I really like the ocean breeze. The shop's deck has the best breeze on the island, and my apartment...
Of course, he said. It's peaceful here when everyone's gone for the day. I sleep here sometimes, on the rare occasions I find myself...
He caught himself, wished he hadn't started to say it.
Alone for the night.
He glanced at her to see if she'd caught what he meant. His sex life was no secret between them, but for some reason, right now didn't seem like the time to remind her about it. A look of disappointment crossed her face.
I'm sorry, I've been hanging around people too much like me for too long. I feel like a bumbling buffoon around you.
Don't, just be yourself.
Believe me, you don't want me to be myself.
He inhaled deeply, let it out, and then backtracked to where the conversation had gone before he sidetracked it.
I sleep here sometimes. My apartment is small. I have issues with confinement.
Don't we all?
We can stay right here tonight. Is the mat comfortable enough?
Yeah, it's very comfortable, but...
But what? Do you want a better pillow? Clean sheets? I have more sheets at my apartment. I kind of have a thing about sheets.
The mat's fine. The pillow's fine. So are the sheets. She looked up at the night sky and exhaled. I was hoping... to be alone.
No.
It came out sounding too much like there would be no discussion. He softened his tone.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Her gaze shot up to meet his, and he recognized the dread. She wanted to be alone. She wanted to cry. She didn't want him around, and it saddened him. He sighed.
Okay, let me get you a few things first.
He grabbed the sheets and a pillow he'd stored in the spare room at the shop from the previous night. He helped her make the mat more comfortable and left some water. Thank you. I'll be all right.
Anxious to get rid of me, he thought,
and again it disappointed him.
Okay, good night then,
he said quietly. He didn't really want to leave her.
Don't forget to drink some water and...
Paul! She cut him off a little more irritably than she would have under normal circumstances. Her eyes were already starting to tear up. She wouldn't be able to hold it back much longer.
I'm leaving.
He hesitated a second before walking around the corner of the building, where she could no longer see him. He stood for another second, waiting and listening, but nothing. He wondered if he'd assumed wrong. He sat down on the bench next to the office and waited. 2 minutes later, he heard her cry. He pursed his lips and hung his head. 30 minutes of torture later, he slid silently into the hammock and waited some more. He didn't know exactly what he was waiting for, but he wasn't about to leave her, even if she didn't know he had to be there for her. Another 30 minutes later, he noticed a difference in the sounds coming from the deck. He hoped it meant she'd made it through the worst of it. Her convulsive sobs had finally settled to a quiet weep with intermittent intakes of staccato breaths. He climbed out of the hammock and carefully made his way back to her. He didn't know if she'd heard him, but she didn't flinch when he climbed onto the mat next to her. She lay on her side when he snuggled up behind her, put his arm over her, and rested his cheek against hers. A few minutes later, she took a deep breath and fell asleep in his arms. Paul didn't know what woke him. Careful not to wake Reese, he checked his watch. Only 3 a.m.
Please, no! She cried in a weak voice. I promise not to tell my mommy, she whimpered.
Shh, it's only a dream.
He tried to comfort her, but when he tried to pull the hair away from her face, she writhed and swatted his hands away.
Ow, stop, please,
she cried and thrashed before she finally woke up and realized where she was.
Hey, it was just a dream, a bad one.
Paul leaned over her, concerned. It's okay. No one's going to hurt you. I won't let anyone hurt you.
I'm sorry, she panted and took a second to catch her breath, calm down.
What did you dream about?
I don't know.
Her answer came out curt. You've already forgotten?
He chuckled wearily. He'd heard the things she said in her sleep. I don't know.
Yeah, she said, still out of breath. You were scared and in pain, I think. Ring a bell?
He really wished she'd confide in him.
No.
She looked up at the early morning sky so she wouldn't have to see the concern in his eyes anymore. He lay back down, so they were both on their backs.
Well, at this point, I usually tell the girls I've slept with that it was nice, and I hope we can do it again sometime, but not too soon. Somehow, that doesn't seem right in this case.
He glanced over at her to watch her reaction. She finally laughed, and he felt better hearing it. Thank you.
For what? He watched her.
I don't know. For sticking around? You haven't left my side, even when I asked you to. That means a lot to me.
It's nothing. Just what a friend would do, right?
Yeah, a friend, she said. She finally looked at him. Her voice turned quiet. Thank you for being my friend. I've felt kind of alone in the world lately.
I'm not that good a friend.
He knew what kind of person he was, and he didn't want her getting too comfortable with him. You're the best friend I have. Her voice level dropped to barely audible.
That's not true.
Paul rolled over to face her.
What about Claire and Dobbs, Tracy and Regina? You have the whole Williams family, too.
That made her smile. You're right. I really do love everyone here. Well, almost everyone. She tried to laugh. Claire is a good friend, and Dobbs, but he's kind of weird around me. Ever since I hugged him, when he gave me the peanut butter, I shouldn't have hugged him. I'm worried he's afraid I don't realize he's married, or that I don't care that he is. I don't think he knows me well enough to know I'd never do that. Paul cleared his throat, and neither of them said anything for a minute.
Do you want to go home?
Paul finally asked quietly.
Home? She smirked. You know, Utah, where your family, your real friends can take care of you until you get better.
She laughed out loud, and he didn't understand why. I don't have family, and I sure as heck don't have friends at home. I think I've told you that. He hadn't forgotten, but he'd convinced himself she'd exaggerated the situation. They lay in silence for a long time. Will you have sex with me? Reese didn't break her concentrated stare at the sky when she asked. Paul chuckled. Sure, she was joking.
Is this a test? Are you testing my resolve to keep my promise?
She glanced over at him. I'm completely serious.
No.
It came out fast and brusque. It was the last thing Paul had expected her to say.
I'm sorry. I thought you wanted.
She fumbled on the words, embarrassed.
Reese.
He tried to laugh, but couldn't pull it off. He rubbed his forehead with his hand and then massaged his temples. Not tonight, you have a headache? They both laughed uncomfortably. He turned to look at her, his expression grave.
You know how I've wanted you. You have to know. But Reese, that's not really what you want.
Don't tell me what I want. I've thought this through. I want it. Very much.
No, you don't.
He sounded cross, and she didn't understand why he'd be upset about her offering him exactly what he'd practically begged her for. She tried to shake the confusion away. I do. I realize how stupid I've been. I've been waiting for a fairy tale ending, like there's supposed to be a magical moment where some too-good-to-be-true guy comes along and sweeps me off my feet. It's all a delusion, just like you said. There is no love.
Don't.
It's just biology, and I need it to be my decision. I don't want to be a walking target for every creepazoid out there. She rolled her head to look at Paul. I want it to be you.
You really don't want this, Paul said. It's just, I'm sure this is just a reaction to what happened.
It's not. She smiled at him. Okay, so maybe this new way of thinking is a result of what happened, but only because it's made me think about it in a more realistic way. I wasn't being realistic before, just like you said.
I was wrong.
You don't really believe that, she laughed. I need this. Come on, you're the perfect man for the job. You told me yourself.
He jumped up, afraid he might be tempted. He was tempted.
I was wrong. You haven't waited this long for someone like me.
You'd rather it be someone like Mario? She said dryly.
No, he growled.
He started to pace.
You're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or something. You'd never consider it if that sleazebag hadn't tried to hurt you.
Paul, she sat up, I'm not suffering anything. I've thought this through. I want to get it over with, be done with it. I want you to do it. He gasped.
See what you just said? That isn't the way a normal person talks about it. You want me to do it, be done with it, get it over with?
It doesn't matter how I say it. I still want it. I want you to have my virginity. His voice dropped to almost a whisper.
You'll hate me. When it's over, you'll hate me.
No, I won't. I'll be forever grateful to you.
Yes, you'll hate me, and I couldn't bear that.
Oh, for crying out loud, now you get picky? She turned her back on him and laughed ironically. I should have known. I'll just have to find someone else to do it then, she said under her breath.
Reese, he snarled.
He reminded himself why she was acting so irrational and tried to calm down.
Please, you'll see I'm right. Promise me you'll wait a few more days before you do anything rash.
Gratefully, he'd caught himself. He needed to tread lightly. He could tell she was considering his opinion, but he knew the line was very thin. If he tipped her even the slightest bit further, her stubborn side would make it impossible to change her mind. Do you want me to spend the rest of my life looking over my shoulder, to have to wonder if every man I come in contact with is looking for a way to take it away from me? I need to do this now, my way. He sat down behind her and put his arms around her shoulders. He rested his chin tenderly on the top of her head and sighed.
Wait a few days, okay? Don't dig your heels in about this already. You're going to change your mind.
I said I'm not. She started to react, shaking her head as if she was about to deny he was right again. But he put his finger to her lips and shushed her.
If you still feel the same way in a few weeks, he sighed in resignation. We'll talk about it then, all right?
Really? He nodded.
I can't believe I'm not jumping all over this. But yeah, I need you to wait.
I'm not going to change my mind, she assured him. His lips ran through a few thoughtful contortions before he nudged her jokingly.
I hope not.
Chapter 24.
Paul borrowed Randy's motorcycle again and took her home to shower and change out of his clothes. She looked good in his baggy garments. He liked seeing her wearing his clothes, but seeing her in her own was even better. The fit, her sense of style, he really liked her style.
There's a girl I remember,
he said when she walked out of her room and into the kitchen where he waited.
You look good enough to eat, he teased.
Well, I hope you like your meat raw, because that cold shower isn't going to cook anything. She exaggerated a shiver to make her point about how much she hated taking cold showers.
Yeah, that's the kind of eat I'm talking about.
He smiled, and his eyes twinkled with amusement, and then he felt guilty. Reese's attempted rape and the assault on Shelley were the most preferred topics of conversation at the shop and around the island. Paul's senses had slipped into overdrive. He suspected everyone and watched everyone watch Reese. They watched him, watched how he interacted with her. But it made him think. After mulling it over in his mind all day, he'd come up with an idea, but he needed to think about it longer. It would mean making some major changes.
I think we should go out for dinner tonight, Paul suggested.
Okay. She didn't protest. It shocked him a little. She'd complained every time he offered to spend his money on her, and she always offered to cook instead. They'd compromised, taking turns, her cooking and him ordering out. He grinned and winked at her before realizing Mitch had watched the exchange. Mitch gave him a sly nod of approval, and it only reaffirmed Paul's thoughts about his idea. Paul and Reese sat on their mat on the deck, eating pizza. They'd planned to eat at the restaurant, but just as they walked in, before they'd even been seated, she suffered a panic attack, and he'd whisked her away, barking out his order to the waitress for a pizza and some wine, and paying extra to have it delivered. Reese had calmed down when they reached the shop. She'd apologized and said she felt safe there. He took a sip of wine.
I've been thinking.
He paused, trying to decide if his approach to the subject was right. He'd never had this conversation before.
That could be trouble, she giggled, and it made him smile.
While she'd seemed so fragile the last few days, it felt good to see the real Reese peeking through.
Yeah, you know what I mean, he laughed. Do you remember how, the night we had ice cream, the next day, everyone was sure we'd slept together?
Don't remind me, Reese said, aghast. I think some people still have trouble believing we didn't.
I don't think they do.
He remembered how believable her denial had been, and he chuckled half-heartedly that she'd just done it again, reacted as if the idea disgusted her.
You know how you said you want to, you know,
he winced. Making his proposal was turning out to be harder than he'd imagined it would be. He'd negotiated multi-million-dollar deals, but he felt completely inept at what he tried to suggest they try now. She gave him her undivided attention, which only made him feel more self-conscious.
I've been thinking. It wouldn't be very hard to make people think that we, well, you know my reputation. It wouldn't be hard to make people believe that I, that we slept together, without really having to.
She grinned to patronize him, but didn't mask her confusion. And why would we do that?
Because you said you feel like a walking target. If people thought I'd taken care of that for you, and they wouldn't question that, problem solved.
He took another bite of pizza and chewed, pretending to act casual, even though his nerves were doing jumping jacks at the moment. He didn't know why he was so nervous. The fact that she still hadn't said anything didn't help.
You don't have to give up, Reese. You can still save yourself for that man of your dreams.
He grew quiet as he finished his proposal.
But if everyone here believed, you know, since it's me we're talking about, it would only take half a second to convince the entire island.
You're saying we could just pretend like I finally succumbed to your charm? She stared at him.
At least it would get the creepazoids off the list. That is my new favorite word, by the way.
He chuckled.
But the problem is, I'm not the only guy who has the hots for you.
He glanced at her from the corner of his eyes, still nervous. She looked skeptical and shook it off. She didn't believe him.
Reese, half the guys on the island are salivating, waiting in the wings for me to have my way with you or step aside so they can finally have their turn.
No way. That is not true.
Seriously? How do you not know how freaking desirable you are?
He grinned his bashful grin. He was beginning to appreciate the influence she continued to have on him. I have always been quite average. Unexceptional, even. She shook her head. You only want me because you can't have me. His face turned sullen before her eyes as he thought about what she said. He looked down, saddened at the truth of it.
There may be some truth to that.
Yes, she said in a sing-song voice, celebrating being right.
Some truth. You didn't let me finish, Paul said. In the beginning, possibly, but not anymore, he said thoughtfully. Anyway, I worry if everyone thinks I had you and then moved on, it'll be open season on you.
He thought about it a few more seconds.
It can't just be a one-night stand. You'd never go for that, and everyone knows it.
You really have put some thought into this. She sounded genuinely surprised.
You have no idea how much I think about you.
He stared at her for a minute.
We need a relationship. I'm not saying we need to really have one. We only need to convince everyone we're a couple.
She laughed, and it took her, Paul thought, much too long to stop. Why, Paul, are you pretending to ask me to go steady? He stared at her again, and then smiled a big, goofy smile.
I didn't really think of it like that.
He looked lost in thought for a minute, and finally, a mischievous grin formed on his face.
Wait here a minute.
He got up and left. He returned a few minutes later and handed her something, a piece of paper, folded too many times. What's this? She took it from him, amused and smiling with curiosity. He sat down next to her and shrugged.
I don't know. Some guy asked me to give it to you.
She tentatively started unfolding, looking up at him with each bend of the paper. Just before the last fold, she could see the crude handwriting inside, as if it were written by a child. She lifted the sheet, opening it up fully, and stared at it.
Denaria, will you go with me? Please mark the box. Yes or no?
Paul. Oh my gosh, she squealed with delight. She burst out laughing. I haven't received one of these since fifth grade.
Kindergarten through fourth grade?
He said, reminiscing, sounding like the memory made him tired.
The girls chased me every recess. If they caught me, they ganged up and kissed me until the recess supervisor pulled them off and gave me a head start again. Getting mobbed is scary shit for a little kid. I still break out in a cold sweat when I hear anything that sounds like a recess bell.
His brows knit together.
Fourth grade, the notes started, and I got them up until seventh grade. He chuckled. Well, actually, I got them all through high school. They just got more sophisticated, with things attached, like candy bars, balloons, condoms.
That made her bulge her eyes at him, and he shrugged shyly again. It embarrassed him, but it was just the truth of his life. He had no control over how the girls had always reacted to him. He handed her a pencil.
This is my very first love note. Please be kind.
First one? Ever? He nodded and stared down at his note.
I told you my first time story. You know I kind of skipped over the whole puppy love stage of life.
She frowned at how sad that was, but she read his note again. Such a sweet gesture, even if it did say Denaria. She chuckled to herself. Well, that explains why you suck at the whole wooing thing.
What are you talking about?
He sounded honestly wounded.
I submit into evidence all the instances you have personally witnessed me not sucking at wooing.
Nope, she shook her head, trying to keep a straight face. You absolutely suck at wooing. However, I think you're very good at being wooed. It appears you learned how to be wooed at a very young age, but you never learned how to properly woo because you've never had to. She marked the box next to the word yes and handed it back to him. He smiled shyly and stared at it. He looked so cute. She surprised him when she grabbed the note away from him again.
Hey, it's too late. You can't take it back now, he warned. It's the only evidence I have of my first successful wooing.
She turned her back on him to fend him off while she drew several hearts and a few X's and O's on the note before handing it back to him. Just helping you build your case. He smiled a goofy grin again while they both stared at the note, and then he put his arm around her and gave her a quick kiss, close to her lips, but mostly on her cheek. She stiffened up and closed her eyes.
Are you all right?
He looked at her with concern. Of course. She put on a brave face and smiled. So, how does this work?
How does what work?
He gave her a squeeze, pulling her in closer to his side. Our pretend relationship? She waited a second and then pulled back to her original position, close but not touching.
Oh, he squirmed. I'm not exactly an expert on relationships. Maybe this falls more under your department.
Okay. She thought about it for a minute and then giggled. You know, we've already been doing what I would picture us doing if things were really going to move in that direction.
That direction?
His eyebrows shot up. Hers went down. A relationship. The kind I would have? She felt her face grow hot. We've had dinner together. Ice cream. You've been walking me home, sleeping on my couch. You've been by my side through all this. She shouldn't have let herself think about what she was going through. Paul had actually managed to distract her from all of it through the evening. But we're not talking about the kind of relationship I'd have. Her tone reflected the dark thoughts that had suddenly returned. Maybe this falls under your department after all.
Oh, yeah.
They sat in silence for a while. Paul could tell he'd lost her to her bad memories again, and he wished he could bring Happy Reese back. There's a big contrast between what I would do and what you would do. We're going to have to find something in the middle if this is going to be believable.
You're right. You need me to take things slow. I guess, for now, we just keep doing what we've been doing. We've spent the last several nights together. People are already giving me strange, you sly dog looks, but eventually we'll need to do something more. No one's gonna believe I'd hang around you for long if I wasn't getting... We'll need witnesses.
To witness what? She yelped. I thought this was just pretend.
Get your mind out of the gutter, girl, he chuckled. Jiminy, is that all you think about?
Bingo. He'd made her smile again.
I'll think about it. Figure it out.
Are you sure you want to do this? You'll be giving up a lot. I don't understand why you want to do this for me.
I'm not letting you out of my sight. We're going to be hanging out together, like glued, stuck Siamese twin together.
Now it was his turn to have dark thoughts. He'd become hypersensitive to every slimy thing he'd heard spoken about her since she'd arrived on the island, including his own.
I blame myself for what happened. No one is going to have the chance to hurt you again.
It wasn't your fault. He put his finger over her lips.
Don't.
He used his taking-no-sass tone of voice, and she didn't push him.
I'm staying with you. Here, at your place, it doesn't matter. I'm not leaving you alone. I'll sleep on the couch, the kitchen table, the porch if I have to. I don't care.
But since we're going to be together anyway, I think we may as well let people believe there's more going on than there really is. No one will bother you if they think you're mine. You're like a wolf, she said after thinking about it for a while. He looked at her quizzically. You're the alpha male in the pack. Everyone knows it. No one questions it, except maybe a few newer guys, like Mario. Her expression changed, remembering once again. But it doesn't take long for most of them to figure out that it's you. He wasn't quite sure if her analogy was complimentary or not. I'm not sure I'm a good enough liar.
We shouldn't have to lie. I think we just act the part, let their imaginations do the rest.
She sat up straight, quiet for a minute. It would be easier if you just, you know, what I asked before.
I told you I won't do that. Reese, neither one of us want you to do that as a result of some screwed-up idea provoked by a psycho sleazeball.
Anger leached from him, and he felt her pull away a little because of it. He felt bad about it and reeled in his temper.
I think we can pull this off, and you won't have to compromise your dreams.
He put his finger gently on her chin and pulled her face around to look at him.
I don't want you compromising anything.
You're being very considerate of me, but I'm not sure you can do this, she murmured. If we're supposed to be in a relationship, that means you'll have to abstain. You won't be able to be with other girls. You know that, right?
You don't have to worry about that, he said quietly. She rolled her eyes. You don't think I can do it?
She didn't say anything, but in her silence, he had his answer.
I guess I deserve that.
You shouldn't have to make that kind of sacrifice. I can't ask you to do that for me.
You didn't ask, he snapped.
He took a deep breath and let it out.
Reese, I haven't been with anyone since you made it so clear why...
Since I called you the epitome? Her countenance dropped. She felt bad about it all over again. You're not. I don't know why I said that. I should never have said it. She had a good idea why she'd said it, but she couldn't admit it to him. She needed to clarify something he'd said. You said you haven't been with anyone. What about... You went clubbing with Taylor. How did you... I know now that Shelley wasn't with you, but you and Taylor really tore up the island when he first got here. Paul looked like he'd just got caught. He glanced away to get his story straight, she thought. A guilty grin broke on his lips.
I danced with a few girls, let Taylor steal them away from me. He always does. Once I saw he'd zoned in on who he wanted, I picked out my own.
Her eyes shot to his. Sure, she'd caught him in a lie about not being with anyone. Just the proof she needed that his plan wasn't going to work.
I picked someone out, my usual type.
Paul gave Reese a swift once-over, knowing his tastes had recently changed.
I told Tay I was going to her place instead of the hotel. She hung all over me and he bought it. But I didn't get out of the taxi. I just dropped her off, went back to the hotel, and got my own room for the night. Let him have the suite. He thinks I'm still the same old Paul, and I had a fitful night going stir-crazy in a small basic hotel room all by myself.
You're serious? You did all that? Reese appeared to be in awe.
Don't get all fangirly on me. I just wasn't in the mood. I've had a lot on my mind lately.
Since I said that about you? Paul, please, I'm so sorry.
It's true, or it was. No, it still is.
This plan isn't a good idea. She looked out over the ocean, shaking her head with doubt. He ran his hands through his hair and scowled at the floor.
I can do this. You'll have to trust me.
He deadpanned at what he'd just said, staring off at nothing for a few seconds before an exasperated groan finally broke from his throat.
God, I can't believe I just said that. Damn it. Reese, I know why you wouldn't trust me, but I don't plan to cheat on you. I don't think I will.
He couldn't read the look in her eyes. Doubt, pity, or compassion. She should be angry. If she really doubted he could be faithful, anger would be a more sensible response.
I know, okay? I know what I am. Look, if I screw this up, excuse my pun, you can just pretend to break up with me, okay?
He tried to be funny, but he didn't think it really was. His voice dropped low and quiet.
Or you could just pretend to not know. Pretend like you're the kind of woman who puts up with that kind of shit. Some women do.
He thought about his mother and felt sick to even suggest it to Reese. Reese rolled her eyes, and he realized she'd been doing that a lot during this discussion.
Sounds like a lot of trouble, she said. I am.
Not you. That did make her laugh. Your plan. Mine is less complicated. Get it over with. Let me deal with the aftermath. I'm a big girl. She laughed again, but then hung her head. Or at least I should be by now. This is my problem. If you'd help me just the once, you could move on with your life. Not have to babysit the baby.
I told you, I'm not going to do that, he hissed. Please don't make me say it again.
Why? It sounded like a plea, despairing. You've slept with every other woman on the planet.
Wow, he said. I deserve that too.
So why did it hurt so much? What's wrong with me? Why don't you want me? She looked down and fidgeted with her hands.
What?
How could she possibly think he didn't want her after all they'd been through?
Fuck Reese.
No, the question is, why not fuck Reese? She almost yelled it. He stared at her, beside himself.
I thought I'd found the perfect solution. My way will get you everything you want and need.
At what cost to you? What do you get? And what happens when I leave here and you're no longer around to run interference for me? I want to just do it. Get it over with. She sounded exasperated now as well. He poured himself more wine and downed it quickly. He poured some more, gulping that down too.
Damn it, I need a real drink.
He stared out over the water for a few minutes, giving the wine time to calm him down.
It's the way you say it.
You keep saying that. How am I supposed to say it? Please have sex with me, Paul? I don't know Spanish or Swahili. Would Swahili be better? Oh, I got it. How about Pig Latin? Ease play, ave hey, exe, ithwe, ime, all pay? Is that wrong too? He glared at her for a minute, but scowled and looked away. She grabbed the wine to pour herself some too, but only a few drops trickled out. Damn it. She threw the bottle angrily into the water and curled up into her safe ball like a pouty little girl. Paul winced, a little shocked to hear her swear, but then he couldn't help his grin.
Pig Latin?
He watched her sulk for a few minutes and finally sighed in resignation. He scooted closer and kissed the top of her head. He tilted his head down to see her eyes. They still burned with fury, and he looked down at the floor again. His mouth twitched a few times before he finally leaned in. He hesitated, but then grazed her lips with his. She snapped her head away from him and glared back in shock. He had his answer. He smirked knowingly. He looked out over the dark ocean for a few seconds and laughed to himself. He turned to look at her again with amused, "I have a secret," eyes, just before he dived on her. One of his hands skillfully weaved itself into her hair, pulling her face to his while the other held her secure, refusing to let her get away as he ambushed her mouth. His tongue pushed its way past her lips. Her reflex reaction to his sudden pounce was to push him away, but he wouldn't have it. He used his strength, his size, and his determination, and declined to acknowledge the hint. Without the slightest break in contact with her mouth, he leaned into her, pushing her down on the mat while somehow pushing the pizza box and the dishes out of the way at the same time. He settled at her side and tossed his leg across her hips to hold her down. His eyes studied hers for a moment. His eyelids grew heavy and he kissed her again, moaning into her mouth. He traced her lips delicately with his tongue while pulling her closer so he could kiss her even harder. He moved again, wrapping his other hand behind her back and pulled her body to his. He held her prisoner as he grew against her lower belly. He heard her breath catch. Paul lay on her, holding her down, kissing her. She still didn't comprehend how she got there. It had happened so fast. She tried to twist away from him, but he moved on top of her. The new position gave him deeper access, and he began to make love to her mouth with his tongue. He pushed against her, panting irregularly into her mouth, never releasing his hold on her lips. His lower body began to mirror what his tongue was doing. He moved rhythmically, his hands busy everywhere. She blinked a few times, trying to clear the numbness, the shock from her head.
"Look at me," he breathed against her lips.
She did, and she took a deep breath, realizing she'd forgotten to breathe for she wasn't sure how long. She felt dizzy. She put her hands on his shoulders and tried to push again. Tears rolled down the sides of her face.
"No, please,"
she finally found her voice again and wailed. He suddenly grew very still, stopped breathing even. His eyes closed. Only then did she realize he was between her legs. She was bare. So was he. Somehow, she didn't know how or when, but she lay exposed to him. He'd pulled her swimming suit to the side and held himself against her, uncovered, unprotected, holding it with his hand to ensure it wouldn't slip inside.
"Please, no,"
she whimpered, barely audible. His eyelids opened slowly, purposefully. She didn't like the new look in his eyes. Pain, sorrow, and remorse all rolled into one. Worst of all, she hated the "I told you so" quality in his expression, but she didn't dare look away because he still hadn't moved. He pursed his lips. His jaw twitched a couple of times before he finally rolled off of her with a loud, snarly exhale. His other hand moved to his face, and he pinched the bridge of his nose with his thumb and index finger. He held it for too long as he lay on his back. She could only assume, hating himself and, she was certain, her. He finally let out a frustrated puff of air. He sat up and looked out across the water, into the darkness so he wouldn't have to look at her.
"You are right, Reese. I am a wolf. Push me, and I'll devour you in a second."
He ran his mouth through a few more of his signature contortions and exhaled hard, still frustrated.
"For the record, I had no intention of deflowering you tonight."
He lied, kind of. He'd intended to just scare her, but the line between doing her a favor and doing one for himself had grown a little fuzzy.
"I knew you were bluffing, even if you didn't."
He looked down.
His voice grew quiet. "I didn't plan for it to go so far."
"I'm sorry."
She could barely get it out. "If you'll excuse me, I need to go for a swim."
He stood and dropped his unbuttoned shorts. They fell to the deck. He dived into the water and swam away until Reese could no longer see him in the darkness. 45 minutes later, Paul climbed the ladder from the water, holding the empty wine bottle in his hand. Reese waited for him, ready to hand him a towel while taking the bottle so he could dry himself off. He still looked angry and never looked her direction.
"I was worried you'd been eaten by a shark," she said, hoping to lighten his mood.
It didn't work. She turned sideways to him to avoid facing his naked body while he wiped the water off.
"I was afraid to come back," he finally grumbled. "I thought you'd be crying."
"And you're disappointed I'm not?" She glanced at him, careful to look only at his face, but he gave her what she thought was a dirty look, so she looked away again.
"You didn't run away from my crying last night."
"Last night you weren't crying because of me."
"I wasn't crying because of you tonight either."
"Bullshit."
"It's true, I cried for a while, but because of me, not you."
He put his shorts back on. He had too much on his mind and struggled to hang the towel over the gazebo railing to dry. She slipped in at his side and did it for him.
"You shouldn't have come here,"
he said, a little too gruffly. She froze, too shocked to respond. In all the time he was in the water, she tried to imagine what he would say when he returned and how she would respond. This had never come to mind.
"This island isn't good for you. You need to get out of here before something irreversible happens. You need to get away from me."
He leaned against the table, still refusing to look at her. She wanted to argue with him, tell him she didn't intend to leave. She loved it on the island, at the shop, the diving, but she couldn't say it. It broke her heart to hear he didn't want her there anymore. Her lungs felt half their size. Her heart pounded in her ears, making her feel deaf.
"Okay."
It came out breathy. She couldn't find her voice. She wanted to run away, but her legs were weak, too shaky to try to move. He turned and headed to the office, and she wasn't sure what she was supposed to do.
"Okay, I guess I'm going home."
She sat on the mat and stared out at the water. She would miss this view. She didn't want to waste a single second of it, even if she couldn't see much of it in the darkness. A few tiny lights twinkled from the mainland so far away. A few stars flickered above, but nothing else made itself noticeable as she stared out into the black, possibly because she had something in her eye. Both eyes. Tears.
Prologue.
Daddy, what am I supposed to do now? Reese had been feeling helpless, hopeless, since the doctor gave her the news. Your father has 3 months to live. The news ripped her heart, less than 2 years after losing her mother. Reese lay curled up on the ground next to her father's casket, sobbing. The fear of going on alone paralyzed her. She had no one, no aunts, uncles. Perry, her older brother, had run away from home when she was only 10 years old. She hadn't heard from him since. The men, the gravediggers, grew impatient, wanting to lower the casket into the ground. They wanted to go home, but couldn't until the last mourner left them to their work. She didn't want to go home to the empty house where she'd always lived with her parents, her world. Her neighbor, Mrs. Michaels, sat in her car and watched for as long as she could bear. She finally got out, pulled Reese into her arms, and held her until she managed to convince her it was time to go. Over the next few months, the kind woman helped Reese with all the details. 2 months later, Reese stared at the check, the life insurance money her father had left. He'd named her sole beneficiary. He didn't believe in life insurance, she muttered.
This has been Wet, Part 1, written by S. Jackson Rivera, narrated by Laura Asmussen. Copyright 2015, production copyright 2016 by Real Musician Pro.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.